Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about, a great move of God that we're absolutely believing for and crying out for. And it's been prophesied and has been seen. And so we're just so encouraged to see so many people, begin to get excited about the harvest. And I always get excited when I hear someone come to the Lord and share their testimony. It's a beautiful day when someone leaves the place of darkness and comes into the light. And I haven't experienced anything in the world that's been so transformational than someone giving their life to Jesus. It literally changes your entire life. And, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And I know in my own life, when I look back at who I used to be, I'm not the same person. I am a completely different person. And I look back at that other guy and look at pity. I feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's the type of transformational life we have in Christ. And I want to talk about a brief testimony about an ex-mob boss, Michael Francis. He used to be a captain in the Colombo family. His father is 97 years old and is serving time today in prison for allegedly for all of his, illegal, criminal activity. And, part of Michael Francis's story is that type of lifestyle, destroys families and destroys a lot of people's lives. And today you see a lot of, gangsters and movies and things of that nature that glamorize a life of crime. But let me tell you, crime doesn't pay. Mm-hmm. Crime doesn't pay. They all get caught in the end. And a lot of times, like sin makes you go, farther than you ever wanted to go. It makes you pay more than you wanted to pay. And it makes you want to stay more than you ever wanted to stay.
Yeah.
And once you get entrapped by that lifestyle, once you get trapped by a bondage of hatred and greed and lust and murder and anger and rage, you become a person that becomes cutthroat and you're just looking to take care of yourself and you're just living in the moment. And those moments go by so fast, and then you'll get arrested and you'll have many moments to think about the choices that you've made in your life. That's one of the things that we've been blessed with, is an opportunity to have freedom. And with freedom comes the ability to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
If you make some good choices, you'll reap a good harvest. But if you make some poor choices, you're going to reap the harvest of that choice. None of us escape the results of our decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't like the harvest that you're experiencing today in your life, you can begin to choose to make better decisions, have better choices in your life, so that you can begin to see the harvest that you want to see. And, I think about Michael Francis. He was able to, after going to prison, he was listed on like the top 20 mobsters of the time back in the 80s. And through a series of events and being incarcerated, he came to a point where he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. One would think that somebody maybe of that character, that background, would be a person that they'd be, totally lost. I've heard people say things like that. Well, I don't know about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Legion got saved.
Oh, is either lost or found? It's like, you're lost.
Yeah, Legion got saved. No one's limited to receiving the gospel. The hope of the gospel of salvation is for everyone who believes. And believe it or not, the people who have had the darkest moments in their life, the people who have done the worst, are the ones that once they see the light, they're the ones that turn a blaze for God.
I think about Saul. He was the one that was just openly persecuting the church.
Yeah.
And it was just like God saved him, and it's just like that gives a lot of hope. And it's just God can reach into the depths of the darkness and bring his light.
I think sometimes a lot of people, they believers, they get discouraged. They've been praying for a loved one, a family member, and they haven't seen the results necessarily that they've wanted. And I want to encourage you today. I feel like there is a lot of people that are viewing and listening to us today that have been praying for loved ones. And listen, don't give up. Don't give up at the end. You're so close.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up praying. Don't give up loving. Because every act of love and kindness doesn't return void, and God's word for sure doesn't return void.
Yeah.
You know, you're just stacking up truth on a person's heart. You're stacking up kind acts, loving acts, mm-hmm. and at the appointed time, at that moment, that compassion is going to just fall right into their heart. And the enemy would like for us to focus on the negative parts. He would like for us to focus on the bad things, but we're supposed to focus on the hope.
Yeah.
I
think about many of the people that I've been able to minister to, and it's just like we get so focused on what you're saying, like what we see on the surface. You know, God's word says that one man waters, another man plants, but it's God that causes the seed to grow. And it's like you don't see that little seed germinating underneath the surface, but all of a sudden it's just like when you first see it, when it breaks the surface, that's not the first time it's been growing. It's got a process underneath that surface, and it's just like God's doing something in that person's heart when you share the gospel with them. And the thing is, you trust in God, watch what he's going to do.
Absolutely. And I believe the salvation is for the humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because, a lot of times we're prone to pray for people and say, well, when they go through a trial or when America goes through the difficulties, then they're all going to turn. I can't necessarily say anymore that I believe that to be true. I have met countless people that have hit so many bottoms. I mean, for me, I see subterranean floors, in their life. I would have cried out long time ago, but they don't have basements. They have underground chambers, if you will, and they don't hit bottom. What I would say would be in my life, I would consider that maybe a flattening event, that would be a wake-up call. And I've seen in the lives of others that it's not. And so my prayer is that in the trial, that God will work humility in the life of that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone gets saved, when someone gives their life to God, we've got to be honest with ourselves as well, too, because a lot of times we're praying a salvation message instead of a kingdom message, mm-hmm. The gospel of the kingdom. And it's not just for someone just to get saved and for them to get out of hell free card, but it's for them to walk in the fullness of what God has saved them for. They live in a society in which, they're going to need to interact, they're going to need to live, and they're going to need to influence the society in which they live.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to receive salvation, you got to admit that, hey, the way that I was going is wrong.
Right.
the way that I was thinking was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about whatever I thought I believed. Jesus is Lord. I've got to humble myself and confess that I am a sinner, that I am away from God. Mm-hmm. I think many people are delusional and think that they can have a life of sin and have Jesus too. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't live a lifestyle of sin and claim that we have a relationship with Jesus, because that's why Jesus came, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And so, humility is a great thing that needs to happen in all of our lives, and we certainly need it for salvation, but we need to, it doesn't end there. We need to live a lifestyle of humility that causes us to be dependent upon the Lord. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to show you a trailer for Michael Francis's new movie. It's called God the Father. Well, we want to get back to Michael Francis's testimony and the new trailer. It's been out now, selected mm-hmm. theaters. We'll make sure that all this is related for you, where you're able to, get the movie and view it. But we want to show you a trailer of his life story. It's called God the Father. Former ex-mob boss with the Colombo family in New York City, gives his life to the Lord and leaves a life of crime, and now is sharing his story with many people to give them hope in Jesus Christ. Watch this.
He asked me one question. He said, if you ever had to kill anybody, could you do it? And I thought about it for a minute. I said, yeah, I think I can do it. My old man made quite a name for himself on the streets of New York.
He rose in the ranks as an enforcer, and that means he whacked people. He's a living legend of the Cosa Nostra. Unfortunately, most of his former associates aren't alive to talk about him.
All I ever heard from my dad, you gotta be a man's man. So I looked at the qualities of manhood. I looked up to my father.
Your allegiance to La Cosa Nostra is bound in blood.
What, are you gonna kill me? Your son?
This is a life we chose.
It would seem that Michael Francisi is unfortunately following the footsteps of his father.
Authorities describe Francisi as a young, rich, and dangerous mafia boss who was held without bail.
I just said, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, here I am again in the same position, and who knows when he's coming home.
I said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this 6x8 cell. I had never experienced hopelessness in my life, and that night I got it.
You don't look so good, man. Just might help you out.
It was during that time in the hole that I became convinced beyond any doubt that Jesus was not only a real man, but that he was persecuted, he hung on a cross and died for my sins, and that he is my savior. The evidence is there, and for me, it's rock solid.
There you have it. Wow. God the Father. Man, that looks like that's going to be pretty good. But what an exciting testimony. Mm-hmm. I remember of another testimony of a former mob boss. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a hit on his life because he left. And right when one of Paul Castellano, I believe, was murdered, that hit was over. And he wound up, you know, not being mm-hmm. pursued anymore mm-hmm. by the mafia. And he was giving his testimony. And I'll tell you, you know, people want to find God. They just don't know it. I believe it. They just don't know what they're missing. And it's our right. opportunity to be able to share with them. They say some of the highest percentage of people that find the Lord mm-hmm. is not in crusades. It's not in necessarily mass evangelism, but it's normally a one-on-one relational evangelism, whether it's a friend, a coworker, whether it's a family member. So I want to encourage you that God has put you in that place of influence, whether that is your place of employment, whether that's your mm-hmm. family. I mean, you know, if you have a large family and you have cousins, you have, you know, it just continues to grow. And then, of course, your neighborhood and the place that you have, you know, community in. I want to encourage you to see yourself as a missionary. See right. yourself as that person who's going to be able to bring the gospel. I think about when Nikki Cruz gave his life to the Lord, you know, Dave Wilkinson was witnessing to him.
In New York, yeah.
Yeah, and Dave Wilkinson says, listen, you know, and Nikki Cruz says to Dave Wilkinson, I'm going to cut you up into 100 pieces. And David Wilkinson says, well, every single one of these pieces are going to cry out, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and it was the love of God. And look what happened. Look what yeah. happened in that ministry. You know, my dad is a result of that ministry. My dad was in with David Wilkinson many, many years ago in Brooklyn, New York. And it's just amazing to see what happens when just one person, Steve, yeah. one person steps out and says, you know what? I'm going to share the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
When you think about it, it's like you look at David Wilkerson was just moving in that power of love, and he went because I believe at that time Nikki Cruz was actually one of the leaders of that gang. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, I even think about, you know, when I was going through high school, it's like there's that one individual that's like, you know, the quote unquote, he's the hard, you know, bully or whatever. And it's just like, imagine ministering or just choosing to love that one person that's difficult to love or people are afraid of. And it's just like, how powerful is that love going to be that stands out to that person? And even when they, you know, make fun of you or do whatever. And it's just like, love is always going to win.
Absolutely.
Love is always going to conquer. And it's just like, imagine what God wants to do and what God can do through that person. It's just like what you're saying earlier is that some of those that were the most lost or just, you know, in the darkest of sin, when God comes into their life, you're going to see such powerful things. And it's just like what you're saying before, it's like, look at what God did in Saul's life. And he became such an encourager, an apostle in the church of what he did through Paul's life. And it's just like, imagine God and have faith to do just amazing things. Imagine what God can do ministering to that one individual.
Absolutely. Because people can deny a lot mm-hmm. of things, but what they can't deny is love.
Right.
Acts of love. You know, maybe it's even in your own neighborhood. Maybe you've come in and out of your home and you haven't had a chance to really witness to your neighbors, have the opportunity to meet them. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you, meet your neighbor today, build that relationship. You know, a lot of times you want to earn the right to you know, evangelize and share the gospel. A lot of times people want to come up and start, you know, quoting off scriptures and stuff. And it's like, do I know you? You know, and the first part is try to be someone's friend, you know, open yourself up to be friendly. Jesus just wasn't friendly to sinners. He was a friend of sinners. So just because someone doesn't believe like you or live the same lifestyle that you doesn't mean that you can't befriend them with the goal of loving them into the kingdom. Not, you know, for you to help to transform them, hopefully not into them to transform you, but, you know, the goal of leading them to Christ and build a relationship. That's really the second step, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And there's easy ways to start developing relationship, whether that's through conversation, whether that's, you know, inquiring about how somebody's doing in their family, and even meeting a physical need. Maybe they may, you know, during this dialogue and this relationship, you may become aware that they have a need of something. And if you're able to meet that need, that's a huge thing, because that's an act of love. It's an act of kindness. And you're showing them that, hey, I'm willing to be there for you. I want to be your friend. And once we establish a friendship, once we establish a relationship, you know, then you begin you're earning the right, if you will, to evangelize to them. You've earned that right now. And one of the great ways that you can begin to evangelize and to bring people into the light of salvation, the light of the gospel, is by really sharing your own personal story. You know, many people, you know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. And so begin to start sharing with them, hey, your life. And that requires for us to be vulnerable. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've speak to believers and they try to distance themselves from the life that they used to live. They don't even want to bring that part up anymore. And it's on the backdrop of that mess that the light of the gospel looks just so beautiful. So it requires for us to be vulnerable, requires for us to share a little bit about ourselves, our background, our history, some of the ugly stuff, right?
Yeah.
And to share with them how we came to that point. Because there is a definitive moment in your testimony. There should be a clear demarcation of a time of which this was my life apart from Jesus. And it should, you know, the fruit clearly is destruction, whether it be in relationships. It just goes on and on and on. There should be plenty of fruit to show. And then there's that moment, that maybe season in your life where you realize, hey, I'm going the wrong way really fast, and this is going nowhere but a dead end. What was that moment? What was that season in your life where you said, I am coming to Jesus? I've given my life to him. And then there is a other side of that demarcation, that clear line that says, this is my life after my commitment to Christ. This is what my life looks like.
Difference.
Huge, should be huge difference. And that's what people want to see. They want to see the gospel real. They want to see Jesus in you. They want to see what has happened and why you have hope. And I believe that the more we share that, the more we care enough about our fellow man to get outside of all the things that are holding us behind brick and mortar, things that are holding us behind not having relationship, but getting out there, meeting the neighbors, spending maybe 15 minutes, make it your point that I'm going to spend 10 to 15 minutes after work every day just developing relationship around the office. Not during work, because you owe your employer that time, but after work, you're going to maybe hang out with the guys afterwards for a little bit, or you're going to maybe talk to one of your female, you know, co-workers, and, you know, ladies talk about stuff, whatever, and just build relationship. Build relationship, and don't be afraid to tell people what God has done in your life. I've seen so many times where people have been going through horrible situations and they were just begging for someone to tell them the hope that they have in their life. I want to encourage you, do that today. We've been talking about salvation. We've been talking about how no one is limited or you know, not able to get saved, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No matter where they've been, no matter how dark their life may be, no matter how dark your life may be, Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and he'll change your life forever. And I want to share a dream that I had, a prophetic dream, this week, and just, you know, amazing. But Ephesians 4:11 tells us that it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And, you know, it is the fivefold hand of ministry, if you will, the fivefold hand of God, the apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, to prepare God's people for the works of service. It's not for them to do all the works, mm-hmm. but it is to empower, it's to teach, it's to instruct, it's to train, and it's to launch believers into the work of God, into the harvest, if you will. And I had this dream where I was in a business meeting, but the business meeting was in the most unusual place, if you will. The business meeting with some folks was actually right dead center of a big box retail store. So, you know, as you can imagine, any retail, big box retail store, you go in and there's, lanes and product and everywhere. But I'm having this meeting with these love seat type chairs, these big old chairs in the middle of the store with these businessmen. And as we're talking business and talking marketplace, I noticed to the left-hand side, there's a woman who's sharing the gospel inside the store. And she caught my attention. And so I'm looking over to her. And she's not, preaching away where someone would think she's preaching, a five-point, sermon or something. And she wasn't the best the speaker. And she was just doing the best that she could. You know, mm-hmm. she was just sharing her heart, sharing the truth. When I say preaching the gospel. And she was just letting it rip, if you will. And I started realizing that all the customers had stopped dead in their tracks, and they were all frozen listening to this woman. Mm-hmm. And she was so anointed. It wasn't what she said, but it was the anointing of God on, it's not how she was delivering it, but it was the anointing on her words and the truth that she was sharing, and the people were just listening. But as I was watching her, she needed help. She couldn't finish, basically. There was a captive audience. And so from my chair in the meeting, I'm asking her questions, kind of helping her along the way. I'm saying, so what do we need to do? And she says, well, we need to repent. We need to turn back to God. And we need to get our hearts, right with God. And she's finding her way. And then I ask her again, well, how do we do that? And again, I'm trying to assist her, kind of helping her along the way, throwing softballs, if you will, so that she could, lead the rest of these folks that are just standing still. And she says, we got to confess our sins. We've got to acknowledge to God that we've sinned, that we've lost our way. And she's right there at the point, at the verge of giving people the opportunity to give their hearts to God. All she needed to do was just ask them, hey, listen, make a decision today. And then she was distracted. She was completely distracted. And the folks never came in. They never gave their hearts to God. And I was just praying, as I've been praying about that, there's multiple things that, God was saying to me through that dream and prophetic experience, is that, the church needs to be prepared. It needs to be prepared and taught and trained to be able to bring in this harvest. People are wanting to hear the truth of the gospel. They're wanting to hear the hope in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But we have to prepare God's people. We've got to prepare the church and to equip them and to train them to be able to lead others to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the great places I believe that that's going to take place is right there in the marketplace. I mean, I was dead center in the marketplace where people transact, they do business, they have community. And even you think about, where are the people today? Where are they? They're at work.
All around you.
They're at school. They're definitely in the stores. They're shopping. They're going about their everyday lives. And it's for us to take notice, not just kind of, you know, saying, hey, all this stuff and everywhere society meets and interacts and has life, I don't want to talk to you about God there. I only want to talk to you, God, about, you know, on this one day a week when we meet over here at this place. I don't want to step outside. But let me tell you, we got to get beyond the walls. We got to get beyond what we may think is comfortable to us. And we got to get to the place where the people are at. And we got to be able to just like that. I'm telling you, it was just, they were standing still in the on the hallway. Standing still with their buggies. And they were just hanging on every word she said. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Imagine the possibilities when believers awaken to that. That as they go to the Walmarts, as they go to Target, as they go to the mall, as they go shopping, food shopping, that they're united with God, they're hearing his voice, and they're looking for that moment, that opportunity to be able to, one, build relationship, introduce themselves to someone, and look for an opportunity where they can bring God part of the conversation. How many people have been a part of, not necessarily engaged in conversation, but been listening to conversation that didn't glorify God, and it's just foolishness, and it's like, wait a minute, it's time to bring up God in the conversation. At the water cooler, in the lunch break, there at the store, it's time to do it.
Yeah, you know, I think about it, and it says in Acts 17 how it says that God determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Mm. Of all the nations, of all the states, of all the cities, whether you're on a subway, you're in a taxi, you're in the business office, you're in your neighborhood, God has positioned you where you are in the generation where you are amidst the people that you're right next to. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're the light.
Yeah.
You have the answer. And when people are talking, it's like you have that power to bring up Jesus.
Absolutely. Listen, no matter what the enemy has told you today, you and God are a majority.
Amen.
You don't need 10,000 people. You don't need all this other stuff. All you need is God. All you need is God, and be willing to share your testimony. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got to be willing to make yourself available. God's not looking for your ability or your inability. He's looking for your availability. Make yourself available to God and let the Holy Spirit lead you to that person that you're going to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. Do it today. Let's invite them all into the kingdom of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.